I don't know about you, but Pastor Nick's prayer was, I think, hand-delivered to me, and I am so grateful for it. Before we kind of head into the message, just a quick mention. Teens, yes, I'm sorry. Kids are dismissed. Teens are dismissed. Don't hold me back. Don't let me hold you back. Get out. Just, you know, if I should miss, just autopilot. I'm sorry. You're right. No apologies. I'm the one that should be asking for forgiveness. Okay. I always know when there's someone that resembles a flagman on a ship in the back doing this, that I'm missing something. Thank you, Sue. Quick mention. The baptism service has been moved to the 18th of August. Kind of a little mix-up with vacation times and stuff. If you're still wanting to be baptized, we're going to be meeting this Tuesday. You may have missed the first session, but we can catch you up right away, and I know the others will be gracious and patient for those of you who come on board. So we're going to be meeting this Tuesday next door, 7 o'clock in the Youth Center. And so the 18th, mark it on your calendars, those of you who want to come out to support family and friends, the 18th, all right? Which kind of goes along with what I want to talk about today. We're going to be concluding our two-month journey with the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about God and how he seeks to include each of us, every one of us. And, you know, there is... I'm sure if I took a poll, no one likes to be left out, right? I mean, you remember that as a kid? I just would always want to be included. If my friends were going off and doing something, I would want to be included. I would want them to catch me up, say, hey, we're going to do this. Why don't you come with us? You just never want to be left out of it, especially if it's, you know, it's a good thing, right? So now, if you know me, and you've been around me a little, you probably know that I hate acronyms. Now, I hate them because they bounce off my mind like rubber bullets, okay? They just don't stick here. And so that's frustration that I experience with acronyms. But I want to share one with you. Now, I know I'm kind of going against my own beliefs, but how many of you are familiar with the term FOBLO? Anybody? You know what that means? FOBLO or FOBLO? It's F-O-B-L-O? And it represents something. See, you're like me. You don't like acronyms either. FOBLO. So it means the fear of being left out. FOBLO, right? The fear of being left out. No one likes to be left out because they feel like they're missing something. So if you know that someone you're friends with is doing something, you know, or you see someone going, oh, gee, I wonder, you know, was I included in that? Am I missing something? So in a minute, I want to share just a brief video with you and to just kind of give you the background. How many of you have watched Everyone Loves Raymond? Now, I know it's an old show. It's not being shown anymore. But Raymond's a character. And my daughter says I remind her of him, but I don't get the connection. But somehow in her mind, we're kind of, Ray and I are connected. But in the video I want to share with you is that Ray and Deborah's his wife, right? She's gone off to these classes, and they've been a good thing for her. And she comes back from these classes, and she's affectionate to him and amorous. So of course for Ray, this kind of gets the antennas up, you know, because he's all about, you know, his wife and being with her, right? So and you know, any opportunity he can get to kind of be romantic with her. So he sees a change, and he's like, okay, I wonder what's going on here, you know? So he wants to go and check it out because I think there's a part of him that feels like, you know, he's missing something. So he goes, and when he gets there, he joins the exercise class, and he tries to fit in because he don't want to be left out. Frank, why don't you roll that?
Nothing. In his own.
Hey, looking good, Deborah. Looking good. Oh. Okay, guys, three lifts. Ready, count down. And 5, 6, 7, 8.
I'll be in a juice bar.
So as Ray heads off to the juice bar, obviously, he was having a hard time fitting in, wouldn't you say? And I think sometimes the people in our world, and maybe even ourselves, can relate to that. We have a hard time feeling like we fit in. Maybe people will go to a certain occasion. And one thing I have to say that I have gotten a lot of feedback that has blessed me is that when people come here, they feel they're welcomed, and they feel like they fit in. And that's a good thing, because as we kind of conclude our messages on the Holy Spirit, God is all about reaching people and telling them one way or another that there's a place for them. That even if they're like Ray and they're dysfunctional and they can't get it together and they don't have the movement down and they don't have the rhythm to life, can't we all say that at some point we have really felt that? Maybe even sometimes now in our walk with God, we feel like we're out of rhythm, something is not right, we just can't seem to kind of have the gears catch. But the author of life says he has a purpose for us. And he did when he created us. He sent his son so that we would understand that. And he left the Holy Spirit to say to us that I have a place for you. I want to bring you to this place so that you can see what I have in mind for you. And it's the Holy Spirit that does the connecting. And we see that Spirit in Christ was doing that when he was alive. Think about the people that Jesus went to make feel welcomed in his space. Welcome them in. And he took hits for this. Like the centurion. Like the Gentile centurion. What is he doing talking to this guy? Does he realize who this guy is and probably what he's done in his life? A warrior, a soldier, a murderer, leading troops to take other people's lives. How can he associate with him? But he did. We talk about the people that he reached out to, like the women who you just don't bring home to meet mom, The prostitutes. Who would associate with these women? But I want to say to you, somebody needed to. Somebody needed to, because they needed God more, just as much as anyone, right? And then we have people like those stinking thieves, the tax collectors. Lie to us, cheat us, take our money, take more from us than they should. Yet Jesus went as far as taking one of them and making them part of his leadership team and sending them out. What was he thinking? Well, how about those who were out of control in their lives? You ever hear people say, I can't come to church because if I step in the door, the ceiling will fall down on me or lightning will strike me from heaven. Because there's some part of them that feels like, man, I am out of control. God doesn't want me around. And I always love people telling people, especially when I was in Lowe's, but you're the reason, when we feel like this, we're the reason why he came. And then we have our social outcasts. And we have a fair share of those in our world today. But in Jesus' time was the lepers, who were very much alone, who had to be a part of an underground community, if I could say it that way. No one would go near their place of residence out of fear, or judgment. There's no way that they could possibly be right. What should we have to do with them, And that's very easy to think that way, by the way, The social outcast. We can very easily kind of get to a place, whether we identify it or not, where we feel superior to others, and so we won't associate with them. Something that's always bothered me, and I've been told by a few people, one of them being my wife, that I have a rebellious side to me. I was told that by a manager at Lowe's, too. And I confess that, yes, At times I do. One of the things that kind of push my buttons is when I see movies where they classify people. You know, I think I've said this to you. When I first started dating Kathy, she years ago she worked for an English company. She told me that someone like me would not be really an acceptable kind of guy over in England, you know, because I was a plumber, you know. And so I get angry, you know, get my back up. I'm like, what do you mean? What, I'm not acceptable? You know, what are they talking about? Or you watch these movies like the Gandhi movie, you know, how the English treated the Indian people in their nation, you know, the subclasses, the servants, you know, and that always gets my goat, really pushes the button for me, you know, because those are the people that Christ came for. He always comes for the ones that everybody else pushes aside and forgets and classifies, you know. And so this is what the Spirit of God was doing in Christ. But, and when he left, by sending the Holy Spirit, he would be continuing to do that work. But now it would be through others. And it would be through people like you and I. See? That's why we're here. That's why the church has been formed and have been left behind. And if we should lose sight of that, then the church will lose sight of its identity. Because our identity is found in Christ, through Christ, but it's found because the Holy Spirit dwells in you and I. And if we lose sight of the work of the Holy Spirit in each other and in our own personal lives, then we begin to lose our identity of who we are, the people of God. And so we're sent out. Now, I want to go to a portion of Scripture with you today in Acts. Acts 16, verses 25 to 31. I want to give you kind of the backdrop here, you know, because we're talking about Paul and Silas here, but let's focus on Paul because he's the main character. You know, Acts bounces between Paul and Peter, but here we are on Paul, and let us remember, you know, who Paul was, and we'll touch on that a little later. But here's Paul, who is in Christ, and he has every intention of going off and serving God. And so he is going to head off in a certain direction. But one night, God, in turn, through the Holy Spirit, gives him a vision. And the vision, and by the way, this is all in 16, even though we're not covering it on the scriptures today. The vision is a guy from Macedonia going, yo, bro, over here. We need you over here. This way. And so Paul, all of a sudden, his mind is being changed. He's being persuaded that he's going to be heading in a different direction. And that direction takes him to Philippi. And upon arriving at Philippi, God so ordains that there is this woman, young slave girl, and she has what many consider a gift. Well, her gift made her master a lot of money. But she had a spirit, a fortune-telling spirit, that allowed her to tell. See, hear what I said? A fortune-telling spirit. This is not the Spirit of God. This is going to another source to kind of get a sense and direction for one's life. And she has the spirit and makes her master a lot of money because he farms her out. And they come to her and she gives them whatever she has for them and they pay and they pay and they pay. Well, she locks on to Paul and Silas when they arrive in the city. Isn't it interesting, whenever we come in the Bible to people who have other spirits than the Spirit of God, they seem to be almost like there's a magnet that just draws them to either Christ or to his servants. Well, she gets drawn and magnetized to them, and all she does for days is follow the two of them and saying, you need to listen to these guys. They have the message of salvation. They have come from God. You need to hear what they have to say. And which you would think is strange, right? But this fortune-telling spirit is telling a truth, you know? Doesn't give them anything more, but just gives them enough to make them aware. And over the course of time, Paul and Silas get tired of this over and over again. Over and over again, hearing this thing, as if they needed her to help them proclaim the reason why they're there. So consequently, at one point, Paul turns around and casts that spirit from her. Well, needless to say, her master, her boss, was not happy because he just lost his revenue big time. And so he incites people and he incites the mob, and they do what they knew would upset and get Paul and Silas in trouble. They tell the people that they've spoken against the authorities and against Rome. And so they are gathered up, they are beaten, and they are thrown into prison. And that's where we find them now as we go to the scriptures. And here's what it says. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They've been beaten. They've been thrown in a prison, much different than any kind of prison that you and I can imagine. This is a hole in the ground. It is dark, most likely wet and damp, no lights. They're chained up, and they're left in there. And here they are. They're singing and praying. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison, the prisons were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword, and he was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Pretty incredible. I think this man knew what happened in the city. I think this man knew that these guys were where they were because he was in charge of them being there, and he could hear them singing and praising God. Now, for him, this earthquake, and by the way, historians will tell you that this region was earthquake prone. No big deal to have an earthquake. But I want to say to you that I believe that this earthquake was providential. This particular earthquake was providential because God brought it about so that something wonderful could happen, because this jailer and his family mattered to him, mattered to God. Mattered so much that he would be part of the reason why God would send Paul this vision and change the direction of his life. Now, Paul was fine, right? He's in Christ. He's serving the Lord. But he's going to go to the left, and God's saying, "No, stop what you're doing. I want you to go to your right, because I have something else in mind for you." The Spirit of God working and redirecting, see? And brings him to a place, and this man is part of the reason. And so God sends the earthquake, and this is unnerving. This is traumatic. In fact, I believe for that jailer, God literally, pun intended, rocked his world, okay? Shook him up. Because you see, what happens is, if these guys get out and they get free, he's accountable for their lives. That's why he's ready to fall on his sword. That's why he's ready to take his own life, because he's afraid of what's coming. But we look and we see that Paul has a message for him. Because God had a message for him. The Holy Spirit is at work here. And what is he saying? Don't harm yourself. Don't harm yourself. Consider Paul. Now, I said to you earlier that remember who Paul is, where he was, and where he came from? Paul was a man who was into being exclusive. You know, God was an exclusive person, all right? And Paul was believed he was God's spokesperson, right? And so he had the power. Paul was given the power by the authorities, the religious authorities, to exclude people. By the way, the authorities were used to doing that, excluding people, because either they were ceremonially unclean or they were sinners and they should be cut out and there was no place for them. But Paul had the power to exclude, to limit. to cut off one single individual who raised a team of other individuals to make sure that not everybody would be welcomed, that not all could participate. A certain snobbishness and aloofness for others and their needs. And God took him and made him someone who would be inclusive, open him up to what the Spirit of God was doing in the world and desired to do through the people who would call them his own. We belong to God. I belong to Christ. Some said they belonged to others that were other believers. They connected themselves, but all of them came down to the fact that they were connected through their faith. And Paul got that. He got that broad scope of God's salvation, and here he is, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, that he was where? Brought to a city where he would be beaten up and thrown into prison. I don't know about you. I think a lot of us think that this should never happen to someone who believes. Yeah. Why would God allow this to happen to me? Is it possible that God allows us to go to places to touch people and to reach people that otherwise we would never reach or touch? You see, I believe that the Holy Spirit comes and takes us who would normally and otherwise be distracted. And I want to say, that's why I connected with Pastor Nick's prayer. Man, it was very real for me today, because that's where I live. How often I find myself distracted. God takes those who are normally distracted or detained, you know? Have you ever felt detained in your life? It's like going to the airport and you're running late and you got to get through the checkout, but you got to go through the scanner. You got to be cleared, which is, by the way, it's a good thing, right? In our day and age, but we're late and we feel detained and we, you know, there's an anxiety that comes along with that. And I don't know about you, but when I'm detained in my own personal life, there's an anxiety, there's a frustration. Takes those who would otherwise be preoccupied. Do you find yourself preoccupied? I know when I'm preoccupied. When I open up the garage door and I get in my car and I drive away for the day and then I come home only to find that the garage door has been open all day long, you know, like almost like an invitation. Hey, come on in, you know. I'm like, oh, I did it again. You know. Now, this is debatable. I could be losing my mind. Maybe, maybe not. But one thing it tells me is I'm preoccupied. That at that moment, my mind is somewhere else. It's probably not even behind the wheel of that car. It's probably where I'm going and where I'm going to need to be in an hour or two from then, you know? But it just, God takes us who are otherwise preoccupied, overwhelmed and consumed by life, and wants to take us and get us centered for his purpose, for his plan. And I want to say to you, regardless of how many years you've been on this journey, there's a tremendous need for the Holy Spirit to keep that flame, as we spoke about last week, fanned and nurtured. The need for practicing the presence of God every day, whether you're in the scriptures at that moment, but whether you're at the store, or you're attending to the children, or you're mopping the floor, or you're processing some papers at work, realizing that God is there at that moment, and that he's at work, and he's using you, and he has a purpose for your life, that there's more going on to what you're doing at that moment, that God is doing it through the Holy Spirit. And he wants to so change the settings of our lives, even well after we have said yes to God. You know, we think we say, oh, I said yes to God 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. I'm good. I'm not saying you're bad, but I'm saying that we need to be on today's page with God, because every day is new, and the Holy Spirit is at work today doing something. And so for Paul and Silas, they find themselves in a prison. And what is the Spirit of God doing here? He sends an earthquake. because he's got something in mind that he's looking to bring about. And unless he shakes the ground underneath us sometimes, it's not going to happen. He has this man in mind, he has his family in mind, and he has so many others that these two men are going to come in contact later on. And by the way, as he's shaking the ground and he's looking to reach this man, it can go one of two ways. One of two ways. He could fall on his sword and end it. Or he can stop and listen to the voice, one voice crying out to him from the darkness. Don't harm yourself. And I want to say to you and I meet people all the time who are in crisis. They might not tell us. We might not be aware of it, but I'm telling you, our world is surrounded with people. We are surrounded with people who are in crisis. And I want to tell you, at any given moment, they can fall on their sword or be helped by the Spirit of God. See, I look at it this way, whether it's for your life or someone else's life, crisis equals opportunity. We don't often think of it that way. I got a pain. I'm laid up. For the past month now, I have been 15 minutes every morning getting on my son's aversion table and flipping myself upside down for 15 minutes because I've been in a lot of pain. And I need to open up my vertebrae and release some of this pain. Otherwise, I get consumed with it. It kind of takes control of my mind, and it speaks of aging, and it's discouraging. But I need to go there with Christ and watch him work in my situation. Crisis brings opportunity. So what I've been doing is, as I'm laying upside down, I'm listening to music. I'm worshiping God. I'm upside down, and I'm doing the opposite of raising my hands in worship. But now I'm like this. So my hands are just about on the floor. My feet are up in the air, and I'm like, thank you, Lord. I'm just glad to be here. Or if I'm not listening to music, I'm listening to a message. You know? By the way, not my own. Okay, I'm tuning into like North Point, and listening to Andy Stanley and some of the crew there, you know. But I'm the crisis, the pain, is bringing me back to him, and God is using it, and the Holy Spirit is involved in it. So when we are dealing with illness, like Marianne Mavridis, who, as we are here worshiping today, is resting in a bed at Brookhaven or Community Hospital, who has been in agonizing pain on her right leg. It's the leg where she had the knee surgery. She's got this pain between her knee and her ankle. X-rays show nothing. They won't give her an MRI because she's got to talk to the doctor who originally did the surgical procedure, because they don't know the condition or what kind of screws are in her leg, and you cannot go into an MRI, which is a magnetic device with metal in you. Okay? Horrible things will happen. So, going there with her this morning and visiting her, I watched God transform the state of her mind because he showed up and changed her thinking, her disappointment, her heartache, the confusion, the questions. Crisis equals opportunity. Every time you and I go through something, every time the people around us in our world go through something, gives us an opportunity to reach out and have the Holy Spirit do the work he so desires to do in and through us. That's why the church is here. So that we can say to others, do not harm yourself. To the person who we may know is struggling with drug addiction or alcohol addiction or any addiction, you know, where they shut themselves in and they glue themselves to a TV or they refuse to engage with others. Don't harm yourself. Experience life. Experience life. Don't fall on your sword. There's a voice of one who calls through the darkness. A messenger that cares. And this is the God who seeks to include all people, if it were possible. His heart is not to exclude anyone, but to include everyone. And that can be found in two scriptures I want to kind of close with today. And the one is a very familiar one, which is John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. He wants to have us be in the world, sharing the light that we have in us through the Holy Spirit, so that we can direct people to the Son of God, to the one who can change life, the one who deposited his Spirit in each of us, so that we could go out and make a difference in his name, right? And the other scripture is found in 1 Timothy 2:4. Verse 3 ends with this, God our Savior. And then it goes into verse 4, who desires, this is the heart of God, by the way. You know, when we talk about God is love, he desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the heart of God, who desires for all to be saved. His heart, his passion, is that no one would be left out or excluded, that they would be a part of it. And so before we go today, I want to give you an opportunity to pray. I know that kind of some, you know, we say that, you know, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, we're in church, we should do that, you know. But we need to pray. And I want to ask you for a moment, if you would, just kind of take a moment and assume the position. Shut out the distractions. And think about the one that we sang to today. Our Father who loves us so much, who at some point in our journey sent someone who shared with us life. And it changed our direction. And entered in the Holy Spirit to take us the rest of the way. But not just us, others around us. I want to tell you this morning that you come in contact with people that God is sending your way. Each and every day, each and every week. But unless we nurture the culture and life of the Spirit in us, we can miss it. I can miss it. And God so loved the world, his desire is that as many as possible would not miss it. And so, I don't know how long you've been at this journey, but the Spirit so desires to open our eyes and our ears to the needs of others, to have compassion on others. In fact, that's where we're heading next month. We're going to look at the power of compassion that God, through his Holy Spirit, has bestowed such a gift upon each of us. He knows those who are broken. He knows each of our frames and how frail they are. We do well to remember that. He knows our inability to function and perform as originally designed, for all fall short of the glory of God. Today, some of us may be here, and even though we've been sitting in church for years, we need to really connect with God for the first time. And some of us may have been here and have gone and have come back. And maybe we do that in our walk, day to day, week to week, month to month, where we kind of drift off. And we need to reconnect. Again, accept the invitation to be a part. And then maybe there is someone this week, this month, maybe even tomorrow, that God brings to you and through the Holy Spirit says, touch that person. Greet that person. Say hello to that person. Hold the door for that person. Let that person take your spot in the line at the store. Wave that person on at the intersection and let them go. Be kind and be loving. For in that, you will display my love and my power to the Holy Spirit. Do you need to reconnect with God this morning? Just between you and I and the Lord, as each of us should be in that position where we're just focusing on the Lord. If there's some part of you that needs to reconnect with the Lord in some way, whether for the first time or again, raise your hand. Just lift it up with me, because my hand is raised, because that's the condition of my life. I need to connect with Him each and every day and reconnect. Otherwise, I'd be prone to being detained and distracted, held back in my journey and my life with Him. Oh God, come. See your hands. God bless you. Father, this is your place. This is your space. We are glad to be welcomed. Lord, with what we have heard, whatever the Holy Spirit has chosen to place upon our plates, may it resonate through this week. May you use it to transform our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Glad you're here today. Let's continue to fellowship as we go. God is good. Amen. God bless you.